Hey y'all, I'm Shelby, a marketer, creative, wordsmith, and world-class talker.
And I'm Erica, a project manager, creative, interior designer, and world-class hype woman. And we are the hosts of the All Things Melanin podcast.
This is a safe space for open, honest, and transparent conversations of the norm.
We share our journey of navigating all aspects of life, and we ain't holding back. Now let's get into this week's episode.
Erica.
Hey, Shelby.
What's good? What's popping? What's happening? What's right with you today, friend? It's been a minute.
It has been so long, I feel like. I'm just so excited to be back recording with you. So that's what I would say is what's right with me, because I really get a lot of enjoyment out of talking, girl talk, and all of the good topics we have today. So I would say being back doing what I love doing. What about you?
I love that, first of all. I think just similar to you, I'm just happy to be back recording. For me, this is really a creative outlet. And I think one of the ways that we are able to give back and to use our gift and to create community and make people feel seen, heard, loved, respected prayerfully. But also what's right with me is, like, regardless of how life is lifing and trying to square up with me right now, like, I am extremely blessed and have so much gratitude that God is and continues to be good to me, even though he won't tell me where my husband is. But that's a different story for a different day.
I feel you, friend. Absolutely.
But it's been a while since we've done the podcast, and it's been a little minute since we've done a life update. So before we get into today's episode, friend, let's give our Melanin fam kind of a life update on, you know, what you got going on, maybe what you're excited about, or kind of maybe just a brain dump, whatever you feel comfortable sharing.
Okay, well, y'all, I'm getting married. No, I'm just playing. just trying to speak it into existence. No, but for real. So since we last recorded, I have actually moved. I moved back home with my family. So that was actually the best decision ever. And it was actually my mom's idea. I mean, I didn't move out of Texas. I'm still in the same city, but just it back home with them. And so shout out to my family, who has been super, super supportive with my decision. 'Cause when I was talking to my mom about it, like, I was telling her my plans throughout the next couple of years, my goals, things that I'm going to be doing. And she was just like, well, why don't you just move back home? And I was like, oh. Like, it never really just dawned on me as an option, because, y'all, as you know, if you live on your own, trying to save, trying to have a business, trying to work a full-time job, trying to not spend too much, trying to save, trying to live, trying to drink water, trying to text everybody back, it's just a lot. And so before I actually made the decision to move, God actually confirmed it to me so clearly that this is right where I belong right now for being. So cheers to me stacking this bread is all I could say. What about you? What have you been up to lately?
Well, I love that. Let mom and dad know that I'll be seeing them soon at some point. I'll okay, be girl. Over there to get on their nerves and fry some chicken wings. Because Erica's mom can fry some good chicken wings. Yeah. So what have I been up to? So life has been lifing. If you know, you know, but God has been guiding. So overall, life has been very interesting lately. One thing that I've learned is that, like, and I'm living through, is that life has peaks and valleys. And a lot of times it's not what happens to you, it's how you react and respond to it. And one thing that I am remembering in this season of my life is that I have an amazing community of friends that are really just amazing individuals and who allow me to show up and give what I can give in that bandwidth. Work is going good. I've been on, if y'all remember, I started a new job last year. I've been on the job for 9 months and I really enjoy the work that I do. I think that I am excellent at it and I feel like I'm finally finding my groove. I am getting back to doing things that I really love and enjoy. One thing that Eric and I had this conversation the other day, I was like, you know, I don't consider myself to be a person that has a lot of regrets. I can probably count on one hand how many regrets I have in life. But one thing that I loved about my early 20s is that if Catch Me If You Can was a person,
Come on.
that was me. And the only thing that slowed me down was the pandemic. And I think that as the pandemic and life got to life, and over the past 3 or 4 years, I feel like I lost that spark, and a little bit of that joy that I had in my early 20s of just doing what I wanted to do and living life to the fullest. And so I'm really excited this year and going forward to get back to doing what the fuck I want to do, to having fun, to traveling, to continuing to making more memories, and to being the best version of myself. So work is good. I'm good and I'm blessed. I'm really just thankful for the community and family that I have, for the job that I have, and just grateful that God has kept me and covered me in this period of my time and going forward.
I love that, friend. I absolutely love that. And I love the fact that we are back. You know, even though we've had significant life changes, we still are able to come back together and do this show for the people.
Right.
So let's get into it. First segment of the show, like always, is dating and relationships. Ciao. Okay, so I actually love this question. It is very reflective, and I think that's important when it comes to dating and relationships. So, Shelby, what is a piece of dating advice you would give your younger?
Do we have enough time? Nah, I'm like you, friend. I love this question. Honestly, if I could give, when I think back on my past relationships and the people that I dated and talked to and entertained, I don't necessarily have any regrets about like anybody that I've talked to or interacted with, but I think that I've had, some not necessarily regrets, but I think I've thought back to myself like I wish I had handled that better, or I wish I had did this, or said this. I think the one piece of dating advice that I would give my younger self was know what you want from a person, be very upfront about what you expect from a person, and stand 10 toes down on that. And when people show you who they are, bow out gracefully. I think in my younger years with dating, I was a people pleaser, and I think also that I tended to give men the benefit of the doubt a lot of times, and I tended to, let them slide around like this was an ice rink. Even though deep down I knew like this person isn't the person that I need them to be, or this isn't my person, or we're not on the same page. I think being young, and we won't say dumb, but being young and full of life, you think that you can influence and change a person. But one thing that I learned, it don't matter how fine you are, it don't matter how beautiful you are, it don't matter what you got in your bank account, it doesn't matter. If an individual does not want to change or be better or to do life with you, they won't. And I think if I could, like I said, tell my younger self and give myself some advice, I'll be like, girl, you know what you want, you know what you deserve, stand 10 toes down on that. And when people show you who they are, baby, don't even like literally don't even argue with them. Just like, oh, okay, cool, and bow out gracefully. And baby, you will never hear from me again. But I understand now that I had to have those experiences because now I don't take anything from men. Like, I'm very, I'm not very like pushy about it, but I'm very honest. I'm very open and transparent about what I want, what I need, and what I expect. And I give people the opportunity to say yes or no to that. And once you decide, make sure you stand 10 towns down on that, because I'm a very like, I will trust you until I can't. But once you show me who you are, I'm gonna believe you. And because actions speak louder than words. But that's what I would tell young and bright-eyed Shelby. What would you tell the younger version of yourself, Erica?
Child, don't do it. No, I'm playing. I would definitely, looking back, I would say wait and pray and ask God for answers and permissions to move forward with this person. Now, obviously, I was not in the same like spiritual maturity or space that I'm in now, but if I could tell my younger 19-year-old self, or however far back we're going, it would have saved me a lot of heartbreak over the years if I would have actually waited for God's like confirmation about a person versus getting his confirmation through heartbreak. Like, oh, well, God showed me all kind of red flags, but I never stopped to ask, like, is this person the person that you want me to pursue something with, or is this person just supposed to be a friend in my life, or what? Because when I think about it, my first actual real heartbreak was at 19 years old. And right now I'm in my mid-30s. So if you think about it, over the past almost 20 years, I've dealt with heartbreaks and disappointments. No wonder I'm tired. No wonder I'm like, y'all, leave me alone. If you ain't about it, leave me. I mean, so I would also say to my younger self, to I used to hate when people tell me this, but literally focus on yourself. Everyone who had who is well, let me back up. What I've learned, everyone who was not for me was just a distraction in my life, now that I think about it. Now, yes, I totally agree with what you were saying, Shelby, about experiences. I do believe that we do go through things and go through hardships that should teach us something, or we learn from, and that's how we grow and mature. But a lot of this could have been avoided if I would have just stepped back and listened to God. Because honestly, if you think about it, it's funny how, after a breakup or an ending of some sort of relationship, well, I know for me, a lot of women, the next thing you know, we have our own business, we got a whole nother degree, we got a new hairstyle, we done lost weight, we glowing. Like, when we don't have that distraction in place, we're actually stepping into the best version that we're supposed to be, right? So I would also say, when you don't know your purpose for the season that you're in, you can't really discern who you should be connecting with, if that makes sense. Because there are some people, for me, I had no business connecting with, right? Not that I say I regret any experience that I've had, but like I said earlier, I could have avoided a lot if I would have just had more discernment and confirmation. So I've definitely learned from those lessons, because again, those lessons have allowed me to mature, it allowed me to grow. But if you let it, because a lot of people will just remain bitter, they'll remain heartbroken, they talk down about men all the time, and that's not necessarily good. So I would just say, it is a good thing that I had those experiences younger, but I'm tired. The last thing I would say is, I would also say with a forewarning that when you go this route that I'm explaining, it can get very lonely. But it's always better to be by yourself than with the wrong person. It could truly mess up your life and delay what God intended for you to have. Because you always say, Shelby, like, the person you decide to spend your life with is one of the most important, if not the most important decision you will have to make.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing that I just wanted to add to that, that I thought about when you were talking, obviously, I agree with everything that you said because sometimes we're the same person, but very different, is that, like, even though, like I said, like, that's what I would tell my younger self, but even though it didn't work out how I wanted it to work out in those situations, kind of like me and Erica said, like, we needed those experiences to get to the mindset and the mind frame that we have now. I would also like to say, to your point where you were like, some people can get very bitter about it and, very negative about it. I'm also, even though I didn't necessarily have the tools and the maturity at the time to maybe handle it like I would handle things now, I'm also still very proud of that young girl. Because that young girl loved with like a childlike freeness, and she gave it her all, and she was authentic, and she was herself, and she loved hard. And through the years, that's kind of hardened a little bit. But I pray going forward, when it's the right person, that I can get back to that. And so, even though I just want to add, and I share that to say that, like, a lot of us probably did not make the best decisions when we were younger when it comes to love, because we're all learning and experiencing. But I pray that whatever season you're in, or whatever you went through or endured, whatever you would tell your younger self, I pray that you look yourself in the mirror and you say that you are proud of yourself, and that you genuinely are proud of yourself, because you probably handled it the best way that you could. And if you handled it the best way that you could, then you did the best you could, and you did a good job. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. We all live and we learn, and we're gonna get it right one day. Yeah.
Yes, I will add one more thing. I know that for everyone, including me and Shelby, when we look back on a situation that we were just so, we thought we were so in love, we loved him, we liked him, whatever. We look back and we're like, "Ooh, thank you, Lord, that you did not allow that to happen." Because when I mentioned at 19 being my first heartbreak, that was someone that I knew my whole life, and he ended up cheating and having kids on me, and now he got like 50 limb cheering, and I'm like, "Whoo, thank you, Jesus," because no. But my point is, like you said, Shelby, if we didn't have those experiences, then we would not actually have any testimony or story to tell right now in this segment. It probably wouldn't even be no dating relationship segment if we didn't know anything to talk about with our experiences. So, but I definitely hope that in the next couple of years, and I'm looking back on now, I'm like, "Whoo, girl, I'm glad you did stopped settling, and I'm glad you decided, look, I'm standing on business." Okay. So that's what I would like to add. All right, so let's keep it moving to our next segment, which is the journey. So this is when Shelby and I will discuss our journey to building our brand, all things melanin. We'll either share tips or resources, or we will share our journey on how it is working in corporate as we both are holding down a 9-to-5 job. So today's topic is about last season of our podcast. So y'all, those of you who are listening, I know you know what I'm talking about, but last season we had some technical difficulties that were very frustrating. So, we had issues with our podcast host, sound issues, recording issues. So, Shelby, let's chat through how we navigated through that, what we learned, and what changes we implemented to not have these same problems in the future.
Yeah, so for me, and I'm gonna go out on a limb and say for Erica as well, like last season was so frustrating, because anybody that knows us knows that like we love doing this podcast. It's one of our favorite creative outlets. To me, it's a great bonding experience for Erica. I feel like this is therapy, because we're with the Melanin fam. So it was really disheartening, because like out of all the years that we've been doing this podcast, we've never had those type of issues. Another thing to know is that like Erica and I produce this podcast ourselves, so we don't pay somebody else to do this. We don't pay somebody to record us or to edit us or edit this for us. We do it ourselves. And so personally, when we record, Erica and I usually just do one take. We're good. We put it together, we upload it. But what we were using, so we were using Zencastr. We've always been using Zencastr, but we didn't really realize until it was too late that our mics were disconnecting, that we had so much more background noise. When I was loud and clear, Erica wasn't. When Erica was loud and clear, I wasn't. And it was just a whole mess. And then the podcast hosting platform that we were using, we didn't know this, but they were on the verge of completing shutting down and going bankrupt and just disappearing on all of their people. And we just had like a lot of recording issues. Like we re-recorded our intro and that was low. And so I think for us, it was just really frustrating, because we've been doing this podcast for at least 4 to 5 years, and we've never had those type of issues. And so we were having to go back and redo things, go back and try to remaster things, go back and try to research a new podcast host, go back and try to get in touch with our old podcast host, which was very frustrating. And I think for us, it was just frustrating, because we had such good content and we had poured our heart into it, but we weren't getting the results that we wanted to get. And I think at least from my point of view, I think that it was a reminder that, for one, it doesn't matter like how good you got at doing what you are doing, you still have to go back and triple check it and double check it. And if it's not right, be willing to do it all over again. So that's one of the first lessons. One of the second lessons that I think that we learned is, I think if you're, for instance, if you're going to do a podcast, make sure that you're using platforms and resources that are widely used and accepted, and not just startups or not just ones because it's Black owned or Asian owned. Like, make sure that they're well known of platforms, because they're less likely to go under. They're more likely to have the resources, the support in the chat. And I think when we thought about it, and at the end of the season, Erica and I had to get really honest, and we had to say, okay, like, this platform that we're using to record in is not working. We have to do something different. Our podcast host that we're using is not working, so we have to do something different. And so I think first we had to acknowledge the problem. And instead of sulking, we had to be okay, like, what did we learn from this, and how are we going to fix it? And I feel like we fixed it through finding platforms that could work better and doing the research and just being honest, like, you know, we messed up this season. It's kind of a wash. Like, we gave good content, but like, we could have done better. What do you think, friend? Like, what's your point of view on like last season and our technical difficulties?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously everything that you said since I'm a part of this podcast too. But I really, first and foremost, I just want to shout out our Melanin fam, our loyal listeners who still rocked with us through the last season, through our technical issues. Obviously, we're very aware and have made those significant changes. So hopefully you can hear us right now, crisp and clear, to bring, a better listening experience, because I feel like we have such a good content that, having a great product or having great quality really, really matters, obviously. So it's not something that we're just totally just, oh, not addressing. But I do appreciate us for addressing it to our listeners and know that we working on it, child. We working on it. But like I said, for those who listened anyway, I just pray that you got the message despite the quality, because that's what it comes down to, is the message we're portraying. I mean, relaying, not portraying, relaying. Okay, so how do we navigate it? So the only thing I would add to that is, I mean, obviously it's very frustrating regarding the hosting, because when you have to rely on a third party to resolve an issue, you're totally at their mercy. So, I mean, Shelby and I, we waited weeks and weeks and weeks of trying to get someone to respond, but we finally got it handled. And within that time frame of waiting, we were able to find another route that is working for us. There was a lot of like roadblocks, but it just brings me back to what my mama always says: when you're building something great, it will not be no cakewalk. Like, you will have hurdles and things in your way to try to frustrate you. But then, just to sum it up, I love how Shelby and I, one of the great things we are good at is researching. Like, nah, what we doing? Because we got to figure something else out. And so we researched. We even had separate days to test the mics out and just make sure that the settings were correct and that we sounded good. And so the plan going forward is to do what we're doing now, and continue to record with great quality and sound. I remember, Shelby, when we first started, we recorded in the same room together. We are in two completely different parts of Texas right now. So it is a challenge. Even though I can see you on, video, it is a different dynamic when you're in the room together, because you can feed off of each other's like energy and things like that. So it is a challenge, just which I think we've handled great, is we're not even in the same room, but it, the way that we interact with each other, it still sounds like we are. So that's what I would say. Hey, we doing good. We got what we supposed to be doing. So hopefully y'all keep listening. So let's move on to our mentor moment. So this is a listener's letter that was sent to us, and then Shelby and I are going to give our advice on it. So the letter reads, "Shelby and Erica, I need some advice. Recently, I lost someone close to me. On top of grieving, I'm grieving the thought of what could have been. This person was a really good friend of mine, and just an overall good person. I'm heartbroken and just trying to navigate grief and getting from day to day. Have either of you had to navigate grief? And if so, how did you get through it?
You want to go first, friend?
Sure. First of all, I would say, of course, I am so sorry to hear that you're dealing with grief. I completely feel you. Grief is a tricky part of life. There is no like straightforward answer on how to navigate it. There's no straightforward remedy, recipe, nothing. It's truly a day by day thing. I would probably recommend just number one, letting yourself feel all the feels of grief. You know, there's the different stages. I'm no way a clinical psychologist or a counselor, but I know that you go through the stages of denial, shock, anger, sadness, depression, all of those I have personally experienced on many levels. So just from my experience, I remember what helped me was to journal my feelings. I'm the type of person, I don't like to really show my feelings. So if I needed to express anything, I would journal it. It's kind of like a mind dump and it could really be a relief. Also, letting yourself cry. Those crying sessions, boy, they really help. It's almost like a cleansing. Also, if you're that type of person like me, you don't really like to be seen crying. Shelby can attest, I have cried on her shoulder before. Point, you're just going to break, and that's just the reality of it, but it's not a bad thing at all because tears actually are healing. And I remember when I was going through the absolute worst grief of my life, a friend reminded me that those tears are actually watering seeds. And not to preach to you, but I remember going through that particular time, I had a Bible verse written at the top of my journal, and it says, "Those who sow in tears will reap in joy." And I know that to be true in my own life and experiences with grief. So just offering my compassion, because I know grief is super painful and can show up in your life in many different forms if you don't address it, if you don't deal with it, if you don't confront it. So I would recommend if you're feeling like journaling or crying isn't working, or maybe talk to some close friends or family or community of people that you have around you to help you cope. If you don't have that in your life, maybe looking up some grief counseling resources. And the last thing I will add is, like, they say the final stage of grief is acceptance. And I really feel like that is the point where you begin to heal, when you've actually accepted what has happened. And it may take you a very long time to accept what has happened. But I don't want you to think that. One of the things I don't like people saying is like, "Oh, time heals all wounds." No, it don't. You will actually probably never be over it. I feel like over it is the wrong thing to say, but you will learn at some point after you've accepted and after you've worked through your emotions to learn to cope in healthy ways. And, you know, continue to live your life. So that's my advice. So Shelby, what would you add to that?
First of all, you took everything that I was gonna say. But like Erica, I would say, first off, I'm so sorry for your loss. And just to kind of piggyback off what you were saying, I agree. I don't think that you get over grief, but I think that you learn how to live with it in a way that works for you. I co-sign everything that Erica says, and I would double down on seeking a professional, because I have navigated grief and it comes and goes and I feel different emotions. And sometimes I'm good and sometimes I'm not. But one thing that has helped me with grief is seeking a professional. Like Erica said, journaling, crying, and allowing myself to feel how I feel. But also to piggyback off something that Erica said is letting your community or your village show up for you. But in order for them to show up for you, you have to tell them. One thing that I've learned is that, like, I show up for everybody, but I realize when I'm navigating grief or navigating a really hard season in my life, I used to be like, oh, like, I can't tell them because they have something going on. And recently, I have been grieving the loss of a classmate that I had, and I want to share two things. One, I am very similar to Erica in that I don't like people to see me cry. I don't like people to see me down. But this particular person really, I think more so because of what happened, it was a shock, but it really brought me to my knees and my emotions because I wasn't expecting it. And I was like thinking one day, I was like, Shelby, your friends keep telling you that like they're there for you, but they can't show up for you if you don't tell them. And when I tell you, I have talked to Erica just about every single day this week. And every single day this week, she has picked up the phone and listened to me ramble. So I said that to say is to let your community be there for you. And don't be afraid to tell your community or your village what you need from them. Because if they love you and they support you, they are gonna do what they can within reason to support you. And other thing is, I feel like sometimes we forget that like sisterhood, friendship, brotherhood, it's not just about, or even family, it's not just about the good times. Like you wanna have people in your life that hold you down through the valley seasons. And if you have somebody that's willing to show up for you, then allow them to. The second thing that I want to share in navigating grief is while I was at this classmate's funeral, his best friend got up and he said something that, interestingly, was so good because it's not what I expected him to share. But it was so inspiring at such a sad, event or celebration. And so what he said was, and I'm paraphrasing people. So he got up there and I didn't know what he was gonna say because I was like, am I gonna cry? Like, what is going on? Because this was his best friend, this was his brother. He got up there and he basically said, paraphrasing, he was like, I can't even be sad because he did everything that he said he was going to do. He accomplished every single thing that he said he was going to do, even at the age of only being 30. And he went on to talk about his character. He went on to talk about how he, got out of the military, stepped out on faith, followed his dreams, and did what he said he was going to do. And so I said, and which was such a beautiful thing because when he got through, I was like, that was so beautiful. He served his purpose. He did his time. I pray that when he got there, God said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've done what you were supposed to do. So I say that to say, and this may sound strange or weird, but it inspired me so, even though I was sad. And I say that to say, even though this person is gone, like Erica and I have said, I pray that you feel your emotions. I pray that you seek professional help and I pray that you do what you need to do to experience all of the stages of grief because actually experiencing them and feeling them really helps the process. But I also encourage you to remember that or to think about it like this, which may be a little bit morbid and weird, but like we all have an assigned time on this earth and we all have the arrogant assumption that we have time when none of us know our expiration date. So even though you're sad and you're grieving, and I pray that you continue to do that in a way that's healthy for you, in a way that you can work through it, I pray that during this time you also reevaluate what you're doing in your life and you ask yourself, what am I doing that at the end of my life, God can say, well done, my good and faithful servant? What are you doing to bring yourself joy? What are you doing to bring back the happiness that you can, whether that's little? What are some things that you and this individual talked about that you can, work on doing? How could you make this person proud? Maybe even thinking about creating a bucket list for you to do. So I pray that as you work through this season in your life, I pray that you still take time to pour into yourself, to do things to bring you joy, even if it's the smallest thing. Because to me, one of the hardest things about grief is that even though the individual is gone, you go outside, the birds are chirping, the sun is shining, the wind is blowing, and people are whistling and having a good time and posting on social media, and that is so difficult. So instead of focusing on that, I pray that as you grieve, you write down at least two to three things that you want to do before it's all said and done, because the number one regret that over 75%, well, 75% of people have on their deathbed is regrets. And the classmate that I'm talking about, I don't think he had any regrets because he lived his life to the fullest. So as you grieve, I pray that you will continue to live as long as you have life in your body and do things that bring you joy. Because sometimes planning those things may be the one thing that gets you out of bed that day, the one thing that makes you smile, the one thing that gives you hope, the one thing that energizes you. So as you live and as you grieve and as you endure this process, I encourage you not to stop living for yourself too. Yeah, that's what I would add.
I love that, friend. I am so proud of you for sharing that story, because it could definitely help this listener, but then also anybody else who is dealing with grief now or has dealt with grief and maybe didn't even know they were dealing with grief. Because I do feel like a lot of people, well, I'll close with this. A lot of people don't even understand what grief is. Because, like I said in the beginning, it's very tricky, it's very weird. So I would like to share one website that you can go to. I remember I went to this website. It's healgrief.org, and it just gives you all types of knowledge about what it is, what are the myths and why, just helpful tools of how you can get through it, identify it. And it just has some cool like information about myths. Like I said one of them earlier about time heals all wounds. That's a myth. So I feel like if you have more knowledge of what it actually is, that could be helpful. So yeah, healgrief.org for more information. So if you out there have a question that you want us to answer, send us an email to allthingsmelanintv@gmail.com or slide in our DMs on IG at allthingsmelanin__. So, we are going to leave you with words of encouragement coming from Psalm 23:1.
And it reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." So, very short and sweet this week. So just kind of a little background story. So a while back, I've been really intentional about the types of things and the types of people that I follow on social media. I've been trying to limit myself in general. And so I've really been trying to follow the girlies, that love to have fun and be fine and turn up, but the girlies that love the Lord. Okay. We need the girlies that love the Lord. And this particular creator that I followed, she had posted this on her story. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. And like when I read it this particular day, it like literally hit me in the chest. I don't know why, but like that particular day, it hit me in the chest. And over the past few years, I've really had to reset. I've had to start over a couple of times. I've had to reprogram my mind. I've lost people. I've lost things. I've lost hope. I've lost all of those things. But when I think back to it, I realize that everything that I feel like I lost and that I endured and that I went through, it was very necessary because I wasn't a bad person, but I was a very materialistic person. And I feel like God reminded me that all this, excuse my language, all this shit don't matter. It doesn't matter because it could be here today and gone tomorrow. But what does matter is that I am not going to be here and gone tomorrow. I am constant, I am ever present, and I am literally all that you need. And when I think back over the past couple of years, which have been probably the toughest years I've had mentally and emotionally ever, I tell people all the time, they were the worst. And I don't be laughing. I'd be like, nah, for real, they were bad for me. When I think back over those years, I realized that even though at the time I felt like I had lost it, whether it had been the person I was dating, maybe it was a job, maybe it was the apartment that I loved, maybe it was the lifestyle that I had built up for myself. And it was all of those things, if I'm being honest. But I am a believer that whatever God removes, God restores. And God has restored me in a lot of areas of my life. He continues to restore me in a lot of areas of my life. But when I look back over those seasons, even though I felt like I was going without, God provided everything that I needed, and He was all that I needed. And when God was all that I needed, and when I realized God, that was all I needed, and when I realized that God would restore me and do what I believed and hoped Him to do, and I just let go of everything that I felt like was mine, that's when things started to pick up for me. That's when things started to go back on the up for me. That's when I started to, quote, win and become the best version of myself. So I told you that long story to tell you that, like, wherever you are in your life, as long as you got God, you have all that you need because He will always provide. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never not take care of you if you believe and hope and pray and do what you're called to do. And the other thing that I would add is that, like, if you do what you can do, God will take it further and do what you cannot do. And I think that sometimes we have to remember that all these extra things that we want and that we believe and pray and mess up and manifest for, those are just plus. But when we have God, we literally have the world. We have everything. And to me, that Bible verse was just a reminder that when I have God, I have all that I need. He is always going to provide, and I'm gonna always be good. So that's what I would say.
Yes. So what I would add to that for my new biblical girlies that are new to the scripture, I wanted to look up what shepherd meant, like the biblical definition of it. And it means a significant role in caring for and protecting their flocks. They are responsible for leading the sheep to rich pasture and fresh water sources. So, the Bible uses the image of the shepherd to depict God's relationship with his people. So, if you think about that, he is shepherding you, watching over you, caring for you, protecting you. God has not forgotten about you. I don't know who that's for, but he has not forgotten about you. So, what this scripture tells me is that obviously God cares for me. And because God is a provider, then that's all that there is. That means I have enough in him, and that's all that I need. Now, I know some people say, like, well, I don't have enough for today. I don't have enough money. I don't have this. I don't have that. Usually, when we feel like we don't have enough, it's because we're looking at what we don't have or we're looking too far into the future. But guess what? Faith says you have enough for today. You have enough for this hour. You have enough for this moment. So, this is a reminder for anybody who is listening that God protects, God provides, God cares for his people, and that includes you. So we hope that that encouraged you today.
That was beautiful. And on that note, I'm going to close this out in prayer. Here we go. Heavenly Father, we come to you as humble as we know how. First and foremost, not to ask you for anything, but to thank you for everything. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy. We pray that each and every person that has assembled to listen to this podcast, we don't know what they're going through. We don't know what they're enduring, and we don't know what's on their mind, but we know that you do. We pray that you would give them a peace that surpasses all understanding. We pray that you would give them a comfort that allows them to relax, Lord Jesus. And we pray that you would restore them in areas that they feel like they have lost. We pray that that you restore them in areas that restores their hope and their love and their faith in you. But we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would restore them to in a level that they have to say that was a God thing, that God did it. We pray for any and everybody that is enduring grief. Lord Jesus, we know that grief is tough. We know that grief is hard, and we know that people experience it at different levels in different ways. But we pray that you would give any and every person that is experiencing grief the resources, their support, and Lord Jesus, just the space and opportunity to navigate this tough space. We pray, Lord Jesus, for anybody that has been laid off and lost their job. And we pray for people who are in tough situations. We pray that you will supply them with the resources and the support that they need. We pray that each and every person that has chosen to listen to this podcast, we pray that they know that they are loved, that they are seen, and they are heard. We pray that they know that we believe in them and that we're rooting for them. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would make a way out of no way for them. We pray, Lord Jesus, that they know they are worthy, that they are enough. We pray that they know that they were made in your image, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.